for the reading of the Word of God, Nehemiah chapter 2, and we're reading from verse number 9, please. Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse number 9. Then I came to the governors beyond the river and gave them the king's letters. Now the king had sent captains of the army and horsemen with me. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, heard of it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. And I arose in the night, I and some few men with me. Neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me, save the beast that I rode upon. And I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, and to the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem. And they were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Then I went on to the gate of the fountain and to the king's pool, but there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. Then I went up in the night by the brook and viewed the wall and turned back and entered by the gate of the valley and so returned. And the rulers knew not whether I went or what I did. Neither had I yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest of them that did the work. Then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good unto me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me, and they said, let us rise and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. But when Sanballat the Horonite, and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed me to scorn, and despised us, and said, what is this thing that ye do? Will ye rebel against the king? Then answered I them, and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we his servants will arise and build. But ye have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. Please be seated. And the God will, of course, bless the public reading of his own precious and fallible and inerrant and inspired word to our hearts this morning. A preacher once said, indeed I think I may have mentioned it last week, there's only one way to avoid criticism. Say nothing, do nothing, and be nothing. He then said, look, I take it all back. Because if you say nothing, be nothing, and do nothing, you'll probably be criticized as well. Someone has written these words, lives of great men all remind us. We can make our lives sublime, and departing leave behind us footprints on the sands of time. Footprints that perhaps another, sailing o'er life's solemn main, a forlorn and shipwrecked brother, saying shall take heart again. No doubt Nehemiah was a man like that, and perhaps this morning you feel like that shipwrecked brother or sister in the Lord this morning, and I trust you'll find the help here from Nehemiah this morning. Nehemiah had received permission to travel to Jerusalem. This is a journey that would take him about 3 months. Verse 9 says, then I came to the governors beyond the river and gave them the king's letters. Now the king had sent captains of the army and horsemen with me. And here he comes and he hands in the papers. He does everything above board. But I want to take a phrase from verse number 9. And I want to use that as a little text, if you like, this morning as we look through this chapter and through some of these verses. You'll see that Nehemiah went beyond the river. He had to go beyond the river. He crossed over the great Euphrates River in order to get to the place where God wanted him to be. And sometimes in our lives, we come to that point in our lives where we have to make that decision. If we want to be what God wants to be, is there a river that needs to be crossed this morning? I'm not talking about a literal river, of course. You know, David found himself in a situation. He found himself having a comfortable lifestyle. King Saul was on the throne. He was good friends with Jonathan, but he knew there was animosity there from Saul. He didn't really want to leave, and so he set up a bit of a test, him and Jonathan, to see what would happen. 1 Samuel 20, verse 19. You'll recall this when I read it. And when they had stayed 3 days, then shalt thou go down quickly and come to the place where thou didst hide thyself when the business was in hand, and shall remain by the stone easel. The word easel means departure. David's about to make a big decision. He hides behind this stone. And then we read this, you'll know the story. And when the lad was come to the place of the arrow, which Jonathan had shot, Jonathan cried after the lad, is not the arrow beyond thee? And that word beyond was the key to tell David he had to move on. He had to move on. David had to go beyond. He was moving out of his comfort zone, just like Nehemiah. He was moving into the place where God wanted him to be. And Nehemiah is exactly the same. And they had to go beyond the river. Are you content this morning to dwell on the wrong side of the river? You remember when we were in the book of Joshua, we looked at the 2.5 tribes that settled on the wilderness side. They were happy to be wilderness believers. They didn't really want to cross the River Jordan. They didn't want to die to self. Live those powerful, resurrected lives that will bring glory to the Lord. What is standing between you this morning and getting on to the other side? What river is the Lord asking you to go beyond? There are many rivers we could talk about. We could talk about the river of disappointment. Has there been disappointment in your life? And you just haven't got beyond that yet. And really, if you're going to be what God wants you to be, you're going to have to go beyond that. Sometimes it's a discouragement. Sometimes it's just discontentment. Sometimes it's defilement. It's a past sin. Like the rust on the plane this morning, there's sin there that hasn't been dealt with, has never been confessed to the Lord. And you need to get beyond this if you're going to be what God wants you to be, or to be used in the way that God can use you. Sometimes it's a river of disobedience. Sometimes even division within the assembly or within the family. There can be something that's holding us back from being where God wants us to be and being what God wants us to be. There's a mighty rebuilding work to be done in Jerusalem. Nehemiah had to go beyond the river. He had to leave the comfort zone. He had to leave the place of complacency. And he had to move beyond so that God could use him to be what God wanted him to be. Now here's the first thing this morning. When you seek to go beyond the river, there's opposition that's awaiting. Look at verse number 10 of Nehemiah chapter 2. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. Look at the reason Nehemiah was going beyond the river. It was nothing to do with Nehemiah. Nehemiah wasn't looking something for himself. Much easier for Nehemiah to stay in the king's palace. Much more comfortable. He had a guaranteed employment. He had a guaranteed salary. He had everything that he could possibly want. He could just have forgotten about Jerusalem, but he's not that sort of a man. He wants to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. He wants to help the people of God. He wants to do something for the Lord. Are you content just to be caught up with self this morning? Or are there others that could do with your help? Sometimes in a practical sense, sometimes in a spiritual sense. And God's asking you to go beyond the river. God's asking you to take that step this morning. Whatever it is, you're going to have to get beyond whatever's holding you back from being the man or woman that God wants you to be. You see the reason it was the welfare of God's people. You see the rascals in verse 10. You read about a man called Sanballat. He was a Horonite. He was a Moabite. Horon was a city in Moab. You see Tobiah. He was an Ammonite. And again, Moab and Ammon, if you went back into the history in Genesis 19, they were the products of Lot having an incestuous relationship with his daughter. I'm not going to say anything about that this morning. But they were the result of the sin in a believer's life. Now it's interesting, there's another character mentioned in verse 19. You see the character Geshem the Arabian. And you will know that the Arabs will trace their ancestry to Abraham, but not through Isaac, through Ishmael. And you remember that Ishmael was the product of a sin conjured up by Abraham and Sarah. And here are a sin in a believer's life, and it's still hundreds of years later having consequences. Indeed, there's still trouble in the Middle East today between the Jews and the Arabs because of Abraham and Sarah's sin. Sin in a believer's life will have consequences. They'll have consequences that go beyond us and will affect other people. And it's important that you and I keep close accounts with the Lord and indeed don't let sin go unconfessed in our lives. Isn't it true? Isn't it true when you seek to do outreach from time to time that many people will talk about the believer's behavior as an excuse for not coming to the Lord? Isn't that true? and how we need to be on our guard, because sin in a believer's life can have consequences. You see the rascals here. But you see, as you seek to go beyond the river, there's going to be opposition. You're going to face bother. When a church seeks to reach out, there's going to be trouble. There's going to be opposition. There's going to be people who will criticize and point fingers. When you personally seek to be what God wants you to be, even from among the people of God. So we need to be aware of it this morning. You see the reaction here in verse number 10. We've looked at the opposition that's awaiting, the reason and the rascals. Here's the reaction. Look at their loathing in verse 10. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant the Ammonite heard of it, they heard that Nehemiah was coming to seek for the welfare. It grieved them exceedingly. The devil doesn't want this wall to be rebuilt. The devil didn't want this to be built to the glory of God, a place that would bring honor to the Lord. And so, when you seek to build according to the word of the Lord, there's going to be opposition. There's going to be opposition. And these men are angry. They were grieved exceedingly. And you see, when your anger is eating in the inside, soon it comes out in the outside. And that's what happens in verse 19. They ask the question, what is this thing that you do? Will you rebel against the king? Could I say to a child of God this morning, if there's anger or bitterness or resentment in your heart, if you don't deal with it early, something will come out that you're going to regret. And you're going to say something that you can't take back. So deal with it, and deal with it quickly. Don't let it become a root of bitterness that will grow up and take over your life and destroy your life. You see the reaction of these men. You see the loathing of them. Listen, if you want to be what God wants you to be, there's going to be opposition. If we as a church seek to be what God wants us to be, expect opposition. You can see the loathing and you can see the laughter in verse 19. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant the Ammonite and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn. Listen, there's going to be scorn. A child of God who amounts to anything will face the scorn of others. Remember what we read of Christ? He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Christ was the object of scorn. All that see me laugh me to scorn, he could say. On the day of Pentecost, they mocked the Jews. They said, these men are full of new wine. Paul was called a babbler. They said that Paul was beside himself. Paul, you're not wise. You're ahead of the ball. And if you seek to be what Christ wants you to be, if you're going to be on the river, you're going to face opposition. Are you ready for it this morning? Are you ready to face the opposition that God's going to throw at you? Are the words going to throw at you? You see the loathing and the laughter, and then you see the lies in verse 19. Notice what they say at the end of the verse. Will you rebel against the king? Now you know that's a lie. You know the king had given their permission. Here's the lies. And the devil, of course, is the father of lies. And these men just look at what the children of Israel have planned, rebuilding the walls. It's a laughing stock. They think it'll never be done. And they think it's all a joke. I know from talking to some of the people that were here in the early days of this assembly, some of the people around here, and particularly those involved in other churches that didn't preach the gospel, saw this place as a joke. A joke. They never thought it'll amount to anything. How could God ever bless that chicken house? That's how it was scorned and laughed upon. And the old devil doesn't want the gospel to go abroad, because he wants to keep men in darkness. And you know, I will let the Spirit of God apply this morning the way the Spirit of God wants to apply it. We could talk about our building program. We could talk about those who will laugh and scorn and say, you'll never do it. You can look at your own life and the old devil will be saying, listen, you've been here before. You're wasting your time. This is never going to happen for you. And whether it's personal, whether it's corporate this morning with the church, or whether it's within some relationship, if you're going to go beyond the river, you need to sit down and count the cost. Because you're going to face opposition. And you're going to face ridicule. As I said the old devil will say, look, you've been here before. He could have said that to the children of Israel here. They've tried to rebuild before, and the work had stopped under Ezra and others who had come to help in the rebuilding. They'll say, look, you failed before, you're going to fail again. And maybe that's who you are this morning. See how Nehemiah responds in verse 20. Then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we his servants will arise and build. But ye have no portion nor right nor memorial in Jerusalem. You know, he just says God's on our side and we're on God's side. He's saying what Paul said in Romans 8. If God be for us, who can be against us? Now there's going to be heat. And there's going to be more opposition. And there's going to be discouragement even among God's people as we get through the book of Nehemiah. And only there was a man like Nehemiah who could handle this. And dear child of God, can you handle it this morning? Are you ready to take the flak? Are you ready to take the stick this morning? Will you see it through? Will you be able to say, we are on the Lord's side. And the Lord is on our side. You'll notice that Nehemiah had no time for ecumenism. He tells these men, you have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. We have nothing to do with you, ungodly bunch. What a man of God Nehemiah was. You know, there's more to this than meets the eye. You see, when you get into the book of Daniel, we're given a start date in Daniel for when Messiah would come and when Messiah would die. Here's what it says in Daniel 9 verse 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem, this is Nehemiah's day. And the commandment given for Nehemiah's day was the start date. And from that point, the prophet Daniel sets out 483 weeks until Messiah would come and Messiah would be cut off. And you know, some people much cleverer than I have sat down and they've counted the very days. And to the very day when Christ rode into Jerusalem, this very day, Palm Sunday, was 483 days. And soon Christ would be crucified. This attack by the enemies of God was an attack on Christ's coming and an attack on the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what all attacks are against the people of God and against the work of God. You have to see the big picture this morning. Sometimes we take the flak, but we have to step back and realize, look, we're in the Lord's side. Do you remember what the Lord said to Paul? Why persecutest thou me? And those that put their hand upon a child of God are touching Christ himself. Do you need to go beyond the river this morning? Whatever that happens to be, you see the opposition that's awaiting. And then you see the opportunities that are abundant here. We'll look up at verse number 11. I want you to see the contemplation here. Something that Nehemiah does. So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. Now no doubt Nehemiah needed the rest. The Lord said one time, come you apart into a desert place and rest a while. And we're just human, we need to rest. But when you see 3 in scripture, and I'll say more about this next week, particularly at the drive-in church when we think about Resurrection Sunday. When you see the third day or 3 mentioned in Scripture, it always reminds us of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, when we think about what Christ went through at Calvary, when we realize that he went a little further, Matthew 26 verse 39, he went a little further. Remember in Gethsemane, when the pressure was on mentally and emotionally, and Christ was really sweating those, as it were, drops of blood. No one will ever know what Christ was going through, and yet he went further. And he went the whole way to Calvary. And died for you and died for me. Now if Christ went further for you and me, if he's asking you this morning to go beyond the river, are you willing to do it for Christ this morning? You see the contemplation? As Nehemiah sits down and he thinks about it for these 3 days, I want you to think about Calvary this morning. Is Christ worth it? Is he worth it this morning? You see the contemplation, then you see the observation. Look at verse number 12. Then I arose in the night I and some few men with me. I think Nehemiah couldn't sleep. Have you lost any sleep recently? Well, you know, God knows all about it. Do you ever lose any sleep over the work of God? Do you ever lose any sleep over those who are dying and going to hell? Do you ever find it difficult some nights to sleep as you think of family that are not saved? And they're without Christ and they're without hope. Now here's Nehemiah, and some were snuggled up in bed. He is struggling through the ruins as he has a look at Jerusalem again. You see the sleep, and then you see the secret. Neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me, save the beast that I rode upon. Here is something that was between Nehemiah and the Lord. And that's where it stayed. At this point, it was just between him and the Lord. And it was a secret between him and the Lord. I wonder, has the Lord got that secret place in your heart? You see the sleep, you see the secret, and then you see the situation from verse 13 through to verse number 20. I don't have to read it again. He starts a tour of the whole city walls. He begins at the valley gate and he goes right round to the valley gate again. And there were some places that were so bad he couldn't even get underneath. He couldn't get around it. There was rubbish everywhere. There was ruin everywhere. The gates were destroyed. The walls were tumbled down. That which should depict the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ was just falling apart. And sometimes churches can fall apart. Sometimes marriages can fall apart. Sometimes our lives can fall apart. And is God asking you to start the rebuilding progress? Our process this morning. As I say, we can apply it to our own church very easily when we think of what we want to build. But I think there's something much more deeper here. Something concerning you this morning. Do you need to rebuild that which is broken down? And God says in order to do it, you have to go beyond the river. You cannot sit on your hands and think this is just going to happen. There's something that you have to do in order to repair that which is broken down. Sometimes it's walls of trust. Walls of obedience. Walls that have been broken down and you need to do something about it. Lives falling apart. Marriages crumbling. Moral standards decaying. Look at the world in which we live. It's just getting worse and worse. It's so bad now. It's beyond what we thought it could get. When I entered the Lord's work in 1997, I used to talk about these things and say these things could happen. Now you're looking back, it's happened. They've killed 1,400 babies in the last year in Northern Ireland. And very few blink an eye. And we've got all of the filth and perversion shoved down our throats. And into this world is coming our children and our grandchildren. Listen, we need to pray. And you need to be like Nehemiah. Lose some sleep over it. My grandchildren are going to grow up in this mess. We need to lose some sleep about it. And sometimes all we have is cold prayers, careless walks, routine service, and like Nehemiah, our hearts need to be broken. If God's going to do something in Rough Island, you and I need to be broken. And we need to be like Nehemiah, we need to be weeping over the state that everything is in. And Nehemiah didn't gloss over it. Here he is going around, and he's looking around, and he sees it as it is. He's not trying to bluff it off. This is where we are. And we need to go beyond the river. We don't want to be part of the wrecking crew. We want to be part of the building crew. The 10 spies said, we're not able to do it. Joshua and Caleb says, we are able. Which side are you on this morning? Paul says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press on, press on, press on. Can you put the past behind you? Can you start this rebuilding process, whatever it is in your life? Will you get behind this assembly in our building to the glory of God? In spite of the laughter, in spite of the scorn, in spite of the mocking, in spite of what others say, will you get behind it? You see the opposition that's awaiting. You see the opportunities that are abundant. And then you see others that are awakened. You see, because Nehemiah had gone beyond the river, he was going to encourage others. Look at verse 17. Then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof were burned with fire. And here's what Nehemiah says. Let us build up the walls of Jerusalem, that we no more be a reproach. Let's build it up, he said. I can encourage you, I can lead you, I can entrust you, but I can't do this myself. He says, let us. Let's get at it. Let's build up the wall. Let's build this wall together. Like Canadian geese, I'm told they fly in a V formation. And when the one at the front's tired, he swaps places. And apparently they can cover 72% more as they work together rather than flying on their own. Henry Ford said, coming together is the beginning, keeping together is progress, thinking together is unity, working together, that's success. Nehemiah says, let us build. Then said I unto them, verse 17, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates are burned with fire. Let us come and build up the walls of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. That means to bring shame in the name of the Lord. I don't care what you have done this morning, you can start to rebuild. You can begin again this morning. As I said at the introduction of Nehemiah, don't despair, let's repair. Let's go beyond the river this morning, that river that's holding you back, whatever it is. And this could be a past hurt, it could be something that's holding you back from being the man or woman of God that you can be and should be. Verse 18. See how Nehemiah encourages the people. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And Nehemiah says, listen, the Lord has laid this upon my heart. This is God's work. And Nehemiah says, surely God has brought me here to encourage you to build up, to get together, to work together. And Nehemiah is encouraging them. He says, I'm here. God has sent me here to do this work. I believe God is in it. Are you in it? Then I told him of the hand of my God, which was good upon me. He tells them what the Lord had already done and what the king had said. Even the very king that one time stopped the work was now helping them in the work. And look what the people say. They said, verse 18, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. They strengthened their hands and said, let us rise up and build. As God's saying to you this morning, it's time to rise up. Rise up and build my marriage. Rise up and build my home. Rise up and build my life. Rise up and build where God wants me to be. And you know, when it comes to building up, there's also some things that have to be broken down. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 3, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up. We need to break down isolation, build up fellowship, break down individualism, build up ministry, break down formalism, build up worship, break down immaturity, build up discipleship, break down silence, build up evangelism. We need to start the rebuilding program in our lives if we're to be what God wants us to be. Listen, there's going to be opposition. And if you're going to cross the river this morning, if you're going to go beyond this morning, you may have to forgive some. And that's a hard thing to do. Because you're hurt. And it's painful. But listen, if you're going to go beyond the river, you're going to have to let this go. There has to be forgiveness. It may mean to put the past behind you, whatever that is. It may mean a change in attitude. But when you go beyond the river, there's an abundance of opportunities where you can encourage others. Yes, there's going to be opposition, but we've got a great God. A God who wants to see these walls being rebuilt. Edison said this, opportunity is missed by most people because it's dressed in overalls and looks like work. Is God handing you an opportunity this morning? Are you going to rise up this morning? I'm going to be finished in a couple of minutes. This is how I intended to finish the message. You know, there are a number of rise ups in Scripture. Do you remember the man who had the palsy, and the Lord said, rise up and walk. And maybe God's saying to you this morning, it's time to rise up and walk. You need to get your walk right first before you can take the next step. So rise up and walk. And then here in Nehemiah, it's let us rise up and build. If you rise up and walk right, then you can rise up and work. And then you know what happens. Over in Song of Solomon chapter 2 verse 10, I know it's a real event here in Song of Solomon. Here's a picture of Christ, and he's coming back, and he says, rise up my love, my fair one, and come away. One day soon, Jesus Christ will come to the air, and he's going to say, it's time to rise up. I wonder for you, will it be rise up and hear the well done? Rise up and walk. Rise up and work. And then we'll rise up and we'll hear the well done. And then God said something to me this morning. Let me finish with this. Give me a couple of minutes. Go back to Nehemiah 1 verse 4. Last week has been a very difficult week for some people in the church. Some have faced bereavement, some have faced news that nobody ever wants to get. Look what Nehemiah did when he's facing a disaster. It says he sat down and he wept. I think he sat down because he says, this is beyond me. This is beyond me. I think he wept because he was broken. And here's a tough man. And he sat down and he says, this is beyond me. And he starts to weep. He's broken. And then we come into chapter 2 verse 8. He says, the hand of my God was upon me. Twice, and in verse 18, the hand of my God was upon me. You see, here is something that was beyond him. Here he was absolutely broken, but the Lord was right beside him. And I know some are listening from home this morning. And some in this meeting this morning. And I know you've sat down and you've wept. Because it's beyond you. And because you're broken. And it may be beyond you and you may be broken, but I'll tell you, Christ is beside you all the way. And just like his hand was upon Nehemiah, his hand's going to be upon you. And I trust that might even encourage you even a little bit this morning. That you might even feel the touch of his hand upon your heart. Let's just close in a moment's prayer. Ronnie, would you come up and close in prayer, please?
Our Father in heaven, as we would come to the conclusion of our time together around your word, Lord, we thank you that it indeed has been a special time around your word. And Father, you've been speaking to us through the word. And Lord, that we might be motivated to be the people that we are required to be in our day and generation. Lord, at the very end of the message, it was truly a word from the Lord for those who may, Lord, be troubled in heart. And Father, really knowing not what way to turn. But our Father, there is the encouragement from your precious word, that they turn unto thee. And Lord, you are, as we so often rehearse, and it's true, you are closer to each one of us more than we realize in hands or feet. And Father, just help us to reach out in faith and knowing that you're right by our side. And Father, as we would take our leave, those who would not be remaining to remember the Lord, as we take our leave by and by, Lord, may we do so thoughtfully and prayerfully. But above all, realizing the great truth that we each one, young and old alike, are in the hands of Almighty God. We ask these things in our Saviour's lovely name. Amen.
Again, if the office bearers could open the doors, please, and those at the back will leave first, and the same here. Thank you.